This is Novo Calypso, Master Mystical Numerologist. Today is a very, 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 very good day, the 23rd. In fact, it's been a great day, and I haven't really remembered the 23rd that hasn't been. It's just been a fun day up until the time that we had the computer and everything set up in the other room, and then it refused to turn on. So I'm back in the main room in my house surrounded by birds, and Seth has told me that the sounds of the birds are picking up better than me. So maybe between the birds, and myself, we can have a pretty decent show. My apologies, because we really attempted to get everything in order most of the day, and, well, you know, computers, they are what they are. They're just based on silicone and switches, and that's okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about New Age guilt. I don't know if anybody's familiar with this term, but I've been in and around Sedona for 30 years, and so I've met a lot of practitioners throughout the years, and I've never come across as much guilt placing as I see today. And I'm not too certain of where it comes from, but I know that it's very, very large in the New Age community, not just around Sedona, but all around. I don't know if it comes from new material, if it comes from something that someone's channeled and has become very popular. Where it comes from, I'm not really concerned about. What I am concerned about is that it's hurting people. And the reason why I want to discuss this is because it doesn't exist in mystical numerology. And I've researched this for well over 35 years, mostly with the ancients and ancient religions and spirituality and things like that, and nature and the movement in nature and philosophies. And I can't seem to find this. I do find some residue of it in major religions, but I don't school of thought that traveled, that became timeless and traveled through the ages. So I'm kind of confused where it comes from. I do see that it has a lot to do with major religions, and just like there's a lot of people who want to bring out their prophecy, I think that's based on new religions as well. Anyway, because in major religions, all the commands were given through a prophet who had to turn around and speak God's word. The reason why I'm discussing this is because it doesn't exist in mystical numerology. I've never, and I would never bring it into mystical numerology, because it doesn't exist in sacred geometry, it doesn't exist in nature, and it doesn't exist in the cosmos, so therefore it's not going to exist in mystical numerology. So, but it is something that has to be spoken about, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, mostly because it doesn't exist in nature. And nature is my mentor. If I don't find it in nature or sacred geometry, I'm not going to believe it. I don't care who says it, I'm just not going to believe it. I will then turn around, look into nature, look into the cosmos, and look into sacred geometry. And if there's truth in there, then I may look a little bit further to believe in this. So the New Age guilt, sin, and fear doesn't exist in any of these, in sacred geometry, in the cosmos. It just really doesn't exist, especially guilt and sin. Fear is that depends on what context you're using it in. You know, fear and survival, or fear of the unknown, or whatever, but this constant fear doesn't really exist in nature. If it did, nature wouldn't be moving. With mystical numerology, I bring out the purity that exists within people, which is actually called the full positive potential. People say to me, well, what about the negative? And I have to ask them, well, what about it? You know, do you live in a negative life? So what I tell people in the positive, all you have to do is flip that around to the opposite pole, and that's how you're living, then you flip it back around. But in sacred geometry, it's the purity of who the person is. And I often tell people I channel from Sirius, which means that I tap into this energy, because the energy around Sirius is for the full positive potential of people. So my work, when I leave my ego, I go into my place of purity for the purpose of my client. To get back to New Age guilt, when I refer to New Age guilt, I'm talking about telling people that, you know, well, you drew this to you. That, oh, this happened. It's too much. Western society is a very large blame society. And it's telling people, well, you must have drew this to you. This must have, you know, it was you who did this, you who did this, you who did this. And I'm totally against that. Because there is so much energy on this planet that it's naive or arrogant to think that one person can draw this enormous amount of energy to themselves to suffer these consequences. A lot of things that happen to us, you really can't turn around and blame the person. And in New Age guilt, what it does is it distances people from another person. That's not how nature works. Nature works to combine. So, and I want to give you an example of this. There was a time that I rented an office with a lot of other readers, and this is where I really became exposed to this New Age guilt. And they were other practitioners, readers, psychics, or whatever. And every last one of them, and even the new ones that came in, practiced this way of thinking that no matter what happened, you know, everybody draws something to them. And I don't know if it's based on the secret. I'm just not too certain of where it came from, but it never set well with my intuition. And I want to give you a prime example. There was a woman who had a very bad car accident, and she was a Reiki master, and she did tarot cards. And she had pulled her car out into the middle of a meridian, and a motorcycle came riding down the highway and smashed into her car, and the person was thrown over the car and was killed. Well, these people felt as if she drew this energy to her, and I can't tell you what devastation this did to the woman. I mean, when all she needed was for people to come around and love her, but everybody was too busy, handed her these almost like myths is what they felt like. They were myths or fables, or it wasn't really clear thinking, but they said, oh, well, she drew this energy to her. She, you know, it's her fault that this man was killed. It's, you know, her higher self drew this for her to have a lesson to live by, blah, 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 blah. And everybody just kind of separated from her because they all decided, well, you know, she has to go through this own experience. She has to live this experience herself, blah, 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 blah. And this did not help this woman go through this process any greater. So New Age guilt is placing a lot of guilt on a person. Like a lot of people say it's a past life thing. You drew this energy, you did this, you did that. And I've never agreed with that because I don't see that in mystical numerology. I don't see that in nature. I do see that there are circumstances, there are happenings, and there are certain things that we need to be responsible for, but I don't see that any one person has the ability of drawing all this energy upon us, you know, drawing this innocent man on a motorcycle towards herself to be killed over her bumper. And but the amount of guilt that was placed upon her was more devastating than anything else. And when everybody distanced themselves from her, because this is the New Age guilt is used to it's inadvertently it places blame, and there's no blame in mystical numerology. That pretty much comes out of Western psychology, but there's no blame, and there's actually no looking into the past because nature is always changing and moving forward. So when we talk about the New Age guilt and explain and telling people that, you know, you drew this energy to you, you know, you're going to have to learn to deal with it, yada, yada, yada. If you can't figure out what it is today, it's from a past life, yada, yada, yada. And I just, you know, I just don't agree with such a thing. And another, and these things happen all the time. And I don't think that really gives an answer or it gives help or it really brings out love. And what the woman needed at the most was love and comfort, because at that point it doesn't much matter where the energy came from, because it was obviously, you know, a man going too fast on his motorcycle that just plowed into her car. However it happened, it happened. And instead of analyzing it and placing blame or guilt, and that so that one person could distance themselves to whatever lofty place they want to return to, it didn't help her. And it doesn't help. It doesn't help when we tell people those things. It doesn't help when we tell people, well, the reason why you're in this position is because it's your own fault. You drew the energy. Something deeper inside of you has drawn this to you. You got to look at that. And I don't necessarily think that that's true. I see that there's so much energy in the world, and there's circumstances that just happen. There's a lot of accidents and circumstances, and if a person's going to turn around and analyze every single solitary thing that's happening in their life, then they're never going to enjoy life and enjoy the movement. But in sacred geometry and in physics, there's so much energy, and energy does combine. And however the energy comes together to combine, it just comes together to combine, and usually it comes together to go someplace higher. So whatever reasons, if there were reasons, and I don't believe that there were, I believe that it was an accident. And I do believe that accidents happen. And a lot of people believe that there are no such things as accidents, that there's a reason for everything. I'm not within that type of thinking. I believe that, yes, of course there's accidents, because there is a lot of energy on this planet, a lot. And especially today, most of the energy is discordant. Most of the energy is inharmonious. Most of the energy doesn't jive, doesn't merge, doesn't come together. So, I mean, to even think that we could get into our cars and drive them each day is astounding to me, because the energies aren't in harmony, and it all comes from we human beings. So we're not in harmony. So how can the energies around the planet be in harmony with us if we're working against nature in the first place? So my thinking is if there was more harmony between us and the universal energies, perhaps that would have never happened. You know, that there things would be a little bit more harmonious, and people wouldn't be so distracted. They wouldn't have so many hindrances. People wouldn't have, you know, the individual strife set ahead of them, that there would be more consideration and more thought power of the goings-on around them. Like the man coming down on the motorcycle. You know, who knows where his thought process was? And who knows where the woman's thought process was? I mean, one doesn't know, but it has more of a reflection to do with the discordant energies that are around us, that we have cause to be discordant, because even working on the internet, it's inharmonious. There's too many people with their hands in the pie and trying to redirect the switches for their main game. So, of course, the computers aren't going to work too well, because we're just dealing with switches. But I see, when I look at things as a larger, I see it more as Koyaanisqatsi. I see where the major energies that are pouring down to the planet, they're not picked up and they're not used within their full potential. But they're kind of, it's almost like creating bubbles around us, bubbles of individual strife. And another person can't be held responsible for that. There was a investigation, and it showed that this woman was not responsible for this death. And, I mean, it was obvious, but the family came after her for a lawsuit because they wanted to place blame. They wanted compensation for their bereavement. And, my friends, New Age guilt doesn't work. If it's not benevolent, if it doesn't help a person grow, then it shouldn't be used. And that type of speaking to people, it just doesn't work. And it's actually just based on a viewpoint and opinion. I mean, when these people offer up such opinion, do they have absolute proof backing them up that it was her higher self that did this? No. So to me, it's just a philosophy that they picked up somewhere, and why on earth they want to hand that to another person is beyond me. What she needed most is what nature has in abundance, and that's benevolence. So to me, it's to open oneself up to benevolence and bring this down around her, I think is a much easier solution than to make a person feel horribly guilty when already they feel so bad to be a part of the situation that a person dies. So I'm really not too certain of where it comes from, and I'm not going to investigate it because I don't have that much of an interest in it. There's a time many years ago that through Edgar Cayce, a lot of things were looked upon through incarnations. But I've always felt that the incarnations, they move simultaneously with who we are today. And to go digging into things in our past lives, and a lot of people get stuck there. A lot of people live in those personas. Like I know a woman who said that she was Queen Elizabeth I, and darned if she doesn't treat people as if she was, and I don't feel as if that's true. So I believe that with work with past lives is very, very, very delicate. It's very fragile. I do believe that it runs simultaneous with who we are. And I believe that we need to move more with nature. Nature is in the present. Nature is within the now. And no matter what, come hell or high water, we have such incredible abilities as photons, as light beings. We have such amazing abilities that when the time comes for us to learn, maybe from a past life, maybe from this life, we are going to feel that through our intuition. So I think the most powerful thing that we could do is listen to our intuition, is to really listen to our heart, because the heart brings forth the first message. And therefore, it becomes a little bit more individual because the messages are for us. And when we go through a situation like that, when my friend had gone through a situation like that, I'm almost certain that her heart didn't tell her, well, you deserve this. You poured this. You drew this upon yourself, and because I've been in some deplorable situations, and that is not a message that I ever received. I've never received such a thing. I've never heard such a thing from the energies. I've never heard it from my own heart. And in fact, I've never felt anything but benevolence. You know, I heard crazy things in my head from like what my parents said many years ago, but I know how to separate one from the other. You know, I know what Mom's voice sounds like even today. She's not living anymore, but I know it. But even when I had disastrous things happen with me, I've never heard such things. I've never heard anything. I've never felt that you drew this energy upon yourself. What I did feel was love, overwhelming love, and a chance to go through the process, but looking at mostly options of how I would best deal within the situation. And the options were always very gentle. they weren't harsh options like, you know, jump on a plane and get the hell out of here, go to Paris or something. But I've never felt anything like that. And I've been in some pretty tight spots. And I've never felt a reprimand. I've never felt a chide. I've never felt judgment. I've never felt criticism. I've never felt anything like that. All I felt was very, very strong benevolence. And I think that that's what we have to manifest to others, whether, you know, a very famous person says that, people draw on these energies, blah, blah, blah. That's not how nature moves. And nature moves through every one of us. And I believe, and see, this is my belief. It's not dogmatism. It's not definitive. But it's my belief that we really need to come forth with what's in our heart and not blah, blah from somebody else. You know, when someone's in a situation like that, I think it's almost instinctual, and I know it's intuitive, to reach out and hold this person and take care of them. Not to come off with some corny, crazy, cliche line just to distance ourselves so that we don't have to deal with it ourselves or become responsible. But, and I've seen this happen so many times. I had a client call me just last week, and she was really troubled. And it had to do with her a new baby's coming in the family, and her and the daughter-in-law really never got along, and she offered her services, you know, to be there for the baby and to care for the baby. Well, she was kind of rejected. I don't think that she got, you know, the answer that she expected. But, you know, I feel, of course, they're going to, because this woman's a wonderful woman. And, of course, they're going to enlist their help. But she was very hurt. So we talked on the phone, and she said, maybe I have to go into my celluloid memory. And work this through. Maybe I have to have a session to work this through. And my feeling, you know, I told her, well, if you want to do a session, we could do a session. That's, you know, I would do anything for my clients. But I said, but you know what it sounds like to me? I said, it just sounds like a human being feeling. And I said, and it's okay to be human, and it's okay to feel. You know, it's almost like the... there's a Charles Fillmore's group, Unity. When Unity first came around, a lot of the people didn't want to wear glasses because they were supposed to be, you know, these perfected spiritual beings. And what we really have to remember is spirit exists within everything first. So therefore, spirit exists within my dogs, at my feet, the parrots, and it's the same essence that I carry. Because it's pouring from the same place, except that the octaves of this body, I'm able to express it and work with it a little differently. You know, it seems like it's a little bit more evolved due to the resonance within the body. It's the way that I see it. So, with my client friend, we discussed this, and we decided it's okay for you to feel. It's okay for you to be human, because even with the first Unity people who didn't want to wear glasses, you know, it's when people embrace a more spiritual path, they're a little bit more judgmental. That there's more pressure. That we're supposed to be like this. We're supposed to look like that. And no, we're not, because we're all spiritual beings. Some people just choose to embrace a path of seeking greater truth than others, but it's actually no different than a bond bred salesman. Well, bond bred was from Philadelphia. I don't know if it still exists. I love their glazed donuts, but a bond bred salesman compared to a guru. I don't really see a great difference, but it is if they're able to manifest the energy through their heart. I think that's what the difference is. So I don't think it matters what the circumstances, because the circumstances in everybody's environment is completely different. I don't really think it's the circumstances. I mean, I don't think it's drawn in this energy to attack. You know, it's. I don't think that any of us, as fragile and as loving and as innocent, but as wise and naive as we are, I don't think that we just intentionally walk out onto the street and want, you know, to be attacked by motorcycles and cars and things falling out of the sky and other people. And I don't believe that. I don't believe in that. But I do believe the energy is discordant. So with my friend, we just decided that she was human, and that it was okay to be human. And there is no reason to go into celluloid memory. But if this persisted, this feeling persisted, we did agree that the best thing for her to do would be to go communicate with her. You know, because going into celluloid memory or not, if the other person isn't within that session, how is it going to be resolved? So, and that's why we move in the now. We move in the now to join forces, to come together, just like nature does. We move to be a part of all the diversity around us. And we really shouldn't separate ourselves from this. We should be a part of it. And the best way to do this is from the heart. With the New Age guilt, and that's not my term. This is a term that I've come across over the years. But it does sum up a lot of these scenarios, you know, well, maybe it's my celluloid memory, or, you know, she drew this to her, or, you know, someone who's very ill. I knew a man, he was a lawyer, and he had gotten HIV, and I believe it went into AIDS, I'm not certain, but all the, you know, the spiritual people around Sedona just separated themselves from him. And I don't know why, but they separated from him because the society separated, but they had a greater answer. They had a greater justification of saying that he drew this disease upon himself. He has to have his integrity to live his life, to, you know, go through this disease on his own. I can't help him. And that's kind of like there's a sect of the Buddhists who feel they can't help wandering ghosts. And that's people that don't have that ancestral family ties, me being one of them. And in America, there's a lot of people like that. So I don't agree with that either. That's almost dogmatic, saying in order for me to give you my benevolence, you have to have ancestral ties. It's like, yeah, but they were drunken Irish people that went to the Episcopalian church all the time. And I don't do that. If you're following what I'm trying to deliver is the thing about the New Age guilt is it's hard. It's hard on other people, and so therefore it shouldn't exist. If a person feels that way, keep it to yourself. When a person is in trouble and they're hurting, I think that New Age guilt ought to be placed aside, and we ought to open our hearts with benevolence. And that's first and foremost, because intuitively, we don't want someone treating us that way. We don't want to be blamed or to feel as if we have guilt. We want the love. We want people to share love with us. And this isn't placing I'm not trying to place a particular blame anywhere, but what I am saying is it doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work. Many people who have been told this by spiritualists or practitioners or New Agers or whatever have gone to many, many different workshops and to a lot of practitioners trying to exercise demons out of them, trying to get in touch with, you know, these personalities and past lives, and the whole thing is that they're going with other people's interpretation, when all they have to do is just go inside and go through the heart for these answers. Every answer that we need is already inside of us. Everything that any one of us needs is inside. We only have to take the time to reach it. And the heart is the, to me, and this is I'm adamant about this, is the heart is the main route. I do firmly believe that where our thoughts come into our brain, it's not, they don't originate in our brain, they come from our heart, and they go up into our brain, and depending on our conditioning, our bamboozling, and the things that happen to us, that's how they come out of our mouth. But I believe that the origin of our thoughts come through the heart, and then they go up into the brain and get tossed around up there. And, you know, as we get older, there's more stuff, you know, sticky stuff that it gets stuck to, and we got to unstick it from that sticky stuff. And when we're younger, it's a little easier because the minds haven't been that conditioned. But I think heart is the path. New Age Guild is not. Heart is the path with our own growth. Heart is the path with our involution. Heart is the path with our evolution. Heart is the path of our authentic self. Heart is the main pathway for our brain, for our learning, for everything that we need to do, because spirit is life, mental is the builder, and the physical is the result. New Age Guilt kind of pulls back. It pulls back from this. It doesn't bring forth that benevolence. It just brings forth basically an opinion. And one doesn't need to hear an opinion like that when they're going through such terrible, 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 terrible things. And I know a lot of the things that I had gone through, you know, I was handed what I call malarkey. I was handed a lot of malarkey, and I wouldn't have anything to do with it. If people had drifted away from me, that was okay. For instance, my first marriage, I had married late, and I was married for about 5 years. My spouse was killed in a car accident, and I found the body in the desert. I was the first one to, because I searched all night long. And the things that these people told me in Sedona were absolute. I had more people come to my house during that period, more of the practitioners than I ever had in the 20 years that I had lived in Sedona. But they came forth to tell me that they had, that my spouse had come to, that my spouse had walked through this mirror and told them all these things that I left because of this and that. They told me that my spouse left because my greatest love was yet to, I mean, things that were just unbelievable. Of course, the past life stuff was brought up, and absolutely none of that had no value to me whatsoever. I looked at it as opinion and kind of shooed these people out. But what I needed was benevolence, and I got benevolence from people that I never thought were, you know, the practitioners of the real spiritual people. I received benevolence from people that I had worked with, and I was a food and beverage manager at a resort, and the people who came forth were not people that were known as practitioners. They were workers. They were people that were involved in the workforce, maids and housekeepers and waitresses, and they came to me and just sat beside me and put their arm around me, and that's what I needed. And that's what I appreciated the most. As far as all that other malarkey or mumbo jumbo, it did nothing but irritate me at the time. But the love that I got from other people was what helped me make it through those terrible days, and that of reacclimating my life and dealing with such a tremendous loss. So the purpose of this segment is to really implore people, other spiritualists or practitioners, please don't use this process with other people when they're hurting, because it doesn't uplift them. It doesn't it doesn't help them. It doesn't soothe them. It's so easy to give someone an opinion and just disappear. You know, my spouse coming through the mirror, blah, 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 and whoosh, they're out the door on their little magic carpet ride. But it's more natural for us to put our arms around somebody and to share that benevolence. And that is what exists in nature. That's what animals do. That's what fish does. I had a fish of 10 years. Well, 10 years, he was getting pretty big. He was a goldfish named Hake. And he I bought him a new tank. I got a little fish, and I put a little fish in there with him. Well, the little fish I got from Walmart, he was dying, and so Hake got very sick. And then I got a couple more fishes because the little fish died, and these fish came around Hake and slept next to him and tried to lift him up just like the dolphins do when people are sick. And I think that's what we're here for, is to live from heart. We got a call from Don from Michigan. Hello?
Good evening. Hello.
Hi.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Perfect.
How can I help? What part of Michigan are you from?
Upper Michigan.
Nice.
Upper Peninsula. Kind of put in perspective, I'm like 100 miles north of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, I know.
The Wisconsin-Michigan border there.
How's the weather?
Pretty crappy tonight, actually. About 38 and pouring rain right now.
Oh, wow.
So, it's been a...
Don, how can I help you?
I was just wondering if I could get a general reading from you, Noble.
Okay, what's your birthday?
7/27/64. And on my birth certificate, it is just Don, D-O-N. Why, my middle name?
No, this is fine. Now, Don, your chart really reflects a very strong humanitarian. How's your level of education?
High school. I took a couple years of a tech college, but that was about it.
Okay, what type of work are you doing right now?
Automotive field. I work at a parts store. I've pretty much done that all my life. Haven't made a millionaire, but I haven't missed a meal either, so all is well.
How are you with friends?
With friends?
Yeah.
At the moment, I'll be honest with you, Noble, I really opened up here a few years back, and I've just been kind of distant, and I've also I've got custody of my little guy, too, so as far as the friend thing at the moment, it really hasn't been much, to be honest with you.
Okay,
but
when you say that you've distanced yourself, what's the reason for that, if I may ask?
I guess after I opened up personal spiritual growth, I've had, I feel I've really grown a lot within the last few years, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't want to dig too far and be too personal from what I see here. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and if they're a little bit straightforward, it's okay if you don't want to answer them. When you say
awesome.
You opened yourself spiritually,
what triggered it?
Yeah, which direction did you go in?
Well, I had lost my father, and, you know, I lost my brother, and then when my sister-in-law passed, I went and got a reading from a very, very good intuitive. I mean, she was dead on, and since that day, my floodgates opened. You know, I've had all kinds of experiences. You know, I've really opened up.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you what's happening here in your life lesson. There was some karma that you brought in with you that goes into a triad, and that actually had to be settled first before you move further.
I really believe that. Okay.
The karma would deal in specific relationships, and it would be people who just really stung your heart. I mean, just really almost like walking out the door or something. Leaving you behind in the dust. But this if you allowed this to come to permeate every core of your being, you know, through anger, because you do have very, very fiery energy. It's very fiery and very physical. If you
indeed
allowed this, excuse me?
Yes, I agree with you, indeed.
If you allowed this to become fiery and filled with conflict, then you wouldn't have been able to progress. But
correct.
Once you come to terms with this, now I'm kind of like shifting around because we're in a public forum and I don't want to bring anything in embarrassment, so it's kind of like reading between the lines of what I'm saying. But once you embrace, but you know what I'm talking about. Once you embrace this to your heart with forgiveness and really let go, I mean, just really, really let go, then you go into a transformation because you're supposed to transform.
I'm sorry.
There's another part of you that you really have to deeply embrace. And that is your, it's not like being against conformity or against conventionality, but it's being unconventional. Do you see what I mean?
It's
holding a uniqueness that's all your own. Holding something unusual and unique that's all yours, instead of being like a cookie cutter. You're not a cookie cutter type person, and you've always had to hold something unique to yourself, like style dress or the type of car that you drive, or there's something that you've had to hold on to that was totally different than other people. Dressing in jeans and t-shirts to conform wouldn't really be the path that you would go to. And the day that you were born on is based upon intellect. You're a very mental person. And the day, being born on the 27th, brings in academic achievements. And where you go to in life is really based upon your academic achievements. That means that if you decided that, well, I want to be a minister, and you go to school and you become a minister, then your whole life transforms. But what the path comes down to after what they call the towers, after the disruption, the loss, I see that there's a lot of loss, there's disruption, there was toppling, there was ruin, there was humiliation, there's all kinds of stuff that went on. The anger that came in from that. Then you got tested to really stand on your own 2 feet, because it goes into an 11. Really challenged to differentiate who Don is as an individual. And the pathway that that comes out from is spiritual leadership. So your what these experiences that you've had, from what I can see, aren't for they're it seemed like a tremendous struggle, but it also shows that you're a strong survivor, that no matter what, come hell or high water, Don's going to survive. But you're right now in the process of standing on your own 2 feet. And there's also a quality about you that you really have to bring forward, and that's the ability to shake people's trees. Do you know what I mean by that?
I sure do, Noble. Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, you're spot on.
Okay, you're supposed to do this. So I'm leading all this to say to you that stand on your own 2 feet, differentiate yourself through your ideals. What ideals are important to you? Another person doesn't have to agree with them, but it's important to you. And then you do have a great intellectual mind, and you do have an ability to grasp unconventional spirituality, like the original Jains, which are from India. Now it's Hinduism, but before that it was Jainism. Or like Shinto from the Japanese culture. Like the old Egyptian cultures before the pharaohs, when everything got kind of strange with the different gnomes and things like that. You have an ability of being able to see into almost like political mayhem, and then bringing out a teaching from that. And you're supposed to shake people's trees. You're supposed to rattle people's cages. And to shake people's trees is to open them up from linear thinking. And through this pathway that you went through with all the stuff that happened, it now that fiery sense that you have is to be used to shake people up a little bit. It could be used. It's in this one with the 27-9. A lot of people are professors. They're psychologists. They're doctors. They're in some sort of humanitarian service in a high end job. Yours isn't leaning towards that. Yours is leaning towards an unconventional approach. It's like Gandhi. Gandhi was very, very unconventional. He created a lot of chaos, but he did it through peace. And that was kind of unconventional. This is the type of energy you're supposed to use. So there's two things I'm going to suggest for you not to do anymore. Three things. Don't worry. Stop worrying.
I've learned that, yes.
Don't overburden yourself with all the ills in the world. Don't overburden yourself with all the... And the only way to do this is to exercise. Just get a lot of exercise. And embrace this unconventional... embrace this unconventional... approach that you have, and bring this forward, and don't be timid to shake people's trees up, because that's what this fiery That's what it's for, is to say, no, did you ever look at it this way? There's a woman named Carol that I'd like to get to before I have to end. And
okay.
Please let me welcome you to call back again or contact me.
I'll do that. No, but actually, I'll be in touch here, and I'd like to get a full reading from you. So,
okay.
I thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling. Carol? Is Carol there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Where
Hello?
Are you from? What part of Pennsylvania?
Actually, in between Pittsburgh and Erie.
Oh, I got nephews out in Pittsburgh. Carol, how can I help
you? Oh, really?
You?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of chaos in my life lately, and I'm kind of wondering what direction I'm supposed to go in right now.
Okay, what's your birthday?
9/26/1960.
Yeah, you come in with the 8. Do you have your own business, Carol?
I can't hear you very well. I'm sorry.
Do you have your own business?
No, I don't.
Okay, you're supposed to.
No, I don't right now.
Okay, you're supposed to. Have you thought about having your own business?
I have, but I haven't pursued it.
Okay, no, you're supposed to.
Okay.
It's all based on your ideas. You have to bring forth this manifestation.
Okay.
Okay, and it's a, I'll tell you what the business.
I'm sorry?
Okay, the business, oh, I know what's going on with you. You sell sacrifice
to
me.
Well, geez, Dad, I'm glad someone knows.
I know just what's going on with you, my friend. You got to stop self-sacrificing, having people taking you for granted.
Well, and you know that happens. That's been going on, I think, since I've been born.
Okay, you got to stop this. Yeah, I mean, you have got to stop this. You're a woman that has multi. It's an overwhelming sense of feeling responsible for other people. You know, you could be very, very responsible. You're like the, Miss Caregiver personified or something. You have to allow people to learn to balance for themselves. The type of business that you're supposed to do is to, your path is to bring beauty into other people's lives. Either through being a beautician or cosmetics or art. Art is very good with you, working with nature, working with flowers. But it is based on your idea. It is solely based on your ideas. And you can start out small, but stop self-sacrificing. Stop allowing other people to take you for granted. Get out into nature more. And Carol, I've got to tell you, you bloom better when you have love in your life. You just blossom like a flower. And, well, you do. So really start looking at your ideas, at some business ideas for yourself. Some basic, start writing them down. And remember to bring beauty, stop serving, for heaven's sakes. To be selfless is one thing, but to be taken for granted again and again and again doesn't work. Here's something to remember. If you are self-debilitating in any relationship or any circumstance, it must stop. Okay? And you've got to take care of yourself. So please look into a business of bringing beauty into people's lives. How do you want to bring beauty into people's lives? And think around those ideas. But you are to have your own business, and it is based on your ideas.
Well, that's wonderful.
And stay away from a lot of people born on the 8th.
Okay.
Okay. be around nature, dogs, plants, trees, things like that. I mean, you're wonderful with this stuff. You're you're an earth-like person. You're a heart person. But you're a heart person who's supposed to be running her own business, you know, because you do have good business skills. So try to bring that forth. I just got a message that I have to. And I do want to tell you, you're more of a sun person. With light and creativity around you. Try to stay around creativity and the light more. Oh. Okay, well, thank you, Don, for calling. Thank you, Carol, for calling. And thank people for listening. And please, let's try to get out of the head and into the heart. Just breathe through the heart, put the hands on the heart, and breathe up from there. And that's the end of this broadcast on the 23rd. Bye-bye.